anatomy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah,
So there's a town in Japan called Shingo, and it's in the prefecture of Aomori. That's sort of the north part of the main island of Japan. And I'm trying to figure out how this story came to be, because my supposition is that there was a Japanese Christian person, and they wanted to bring Japan sort of more into focus as part of the Christian story. So there is a claim in this town that that is where Jesus is actually buried. Now, that's a pretty big claim, and it has some massive implications on the Christian religion, which I personally believe they didn't think through when they started fomenting this story or trying to put this story out. And then there's the question of, do other Japanese Christians believe this, or did they just go along with it? Like, I don't know where this originated from, because I'm not practicing any sort of religion in any real way. So the only things I know about Christianity would be like what the average person would learn or know absorbing information about Christianity through popular media. So the story of Jesus, as we know it, is kind of the New Testament. It starts when he's in his 30s, which was a great opportunity for someone to rewrite or write what happened in his 20s, because there's really no mention of him until he hits that sort of 30-year age when he becomes the prophet that we know about. So what was he doing in his 20s? Now, the actual assumption is because he was a carpenter, he was probably doing carpenting. He was working, he was an apprentice, something like that. And people don't really tend to question, what did Jesus do in his 20s, in the wild years? Well, this story claims that he went to Japan, because Jesus is obviously a weeb, and he wants to come to Japan and learn Japanese stuff. I don't know. I mean, what are you going to say? He grows up in the Middle East, and he travels all the way to Japan. I mean, never mind the inherently xenophobic nature of Japan as a country back then, that a foreigner just entering the country would have been an incredibly difficult thing to do. Now, he is supposed to be Jesus. He's got the God on his side. So we're going to have to give him that Jesus as a character is so charismatic, so powerful, so influential that the Japanese people just took him in. But then why wasn't Christianity a big part of Japan, Japanese culture, you know, in the history in the past? And the claim is Jesus came to Japan to study theology. So at that time, he was probably either studying Shinto or Buddhism, or probably, let's just say, both. He was studying both Shinto and Buddhism. So then he goes back to the Middle East and starts preaching about the Promised Land. Now, the Promised Land, I think we generally interpret that as being heaven. Well, in this case, it's not heaven. The Promised Land is Japan, which is why, again, so many weebs think, like, when I get to Japan, it's going to be like heaven for me. Everything's going to work out. My life will be better. That's what Jesus was preaching to people at the time. He wasn't saying you should live a good life, and then when you die, you'll go to heaven. He's saying you live a good life, and maybe you can go to Japan now. So we get the New Testament. The New Testament happens. We kind of know the story. So he is crucified, and then 3 days later, he rises and he ascends to heaven. Or did he? Because according to this story, they had to rewrite a bit for him to be buried in Japan. If he ascended to heaven, either his spirit ascended to heaven and his body still in the Middle East, or his body just fully ascended to heaven. So that doesn't work if you want the story to end up with him being buried in Japan. So the story continues as, when it was time for Jesus to be crucified, he just bailed. He dipped out. He just wasn't there. He left his little brother there, Isukiri, to take the fall for him. Now, Christ in Japanese is Christo. So because of the Japanese pronunciation, romanization of names and stuff, the name is going to sound different. So that's taking the name Christ from English and putting it into sort of Japanese pronunciation is Christo. So Isukiri would have to go back, so we had to actually find out what the little brother's actual name was. But I, again, very shallow knowledge, I don't remember there being a little brother. Like, they mentioned Mary, they mentioned Joseph, they mentioned Jesus. They don't mention any siblings. And you think a sibling to Jesus would be a pretty big deal. Like, it would come up in the Bible. There probably would be a story or two of Jesus interacting with his sibling, either in a positive or a negative way. Like, maybe the sibling betrays him. Maybe he teaches the sibling how to be a better person. Who knows? But I mean, it seems like the character of Isukiri was inserted into this story because someone needed to be crucified to the cross, and it couldn't be Jesus because Jesus had to, you know, get back to Japan so that Japan could become the center of Christianity. So Isukiri is crucified in Jesus's place. So that does not explain who goes into the cave for 3 days and then who ascends to heaven. So if we say it's Isukiri, again, there are significant implications on how that changes the sort of story of Christianity. Because is Isukiri the son of God, or is Isukiri the son of Joseph and Mary? Because maybe after God had a baby with Mary, Immaculate Conception, maybe Joseph and Mary decided to have their own baby as well, that, you know, God was less involved in. So this needs a lot of explanation that just does not exist. It's just not there. So Jesus returns to Japan, and he does what any sensible person does in Japan. He starts a garlic farm. And that is tough. He gets married. He marries a woman called Miyuki, and he has 3 children. Therefore, direct descendants of Jesus and Miyuki live in this town, Shingo, in Aomori. Direct descendants in this town still live in Aomori. And they will say that, oh, that's that family right there. They are direct descendants of Jesus Christ. Jesus dies at 106, I assume of natural causes, and then they bury the body. That's the end of the story. But it actually opens up so, so many questions. The first question I had was, why would Jesus go to Japan to study theology if he has a direct line to God himself? So he doesn't need to study something if he knows the truth. Like, if he knows there is a God because he can communicate directly with him, there is no need for him to study religion, because he knows inherently what religion is. So if he comes back to Japan, he studies Shinto. Shinto is polytheistic, which means there are a multitude of gods. Now, the Bible says, I think it's one of the Ten Commandments says, like, you won't worship gods other than me. So the whole Shinto religion is out of bounds for that one. Like, you shouldn't be worshiping these gods. Now, maybe Jesus wasn't worshiping these gods. He was studying it. He was studying the philosophy. He was studying theology. But why would he need to do that? Because he knows the truth. He can share you the truth. He can tell you the truth. He can give you everything you need to know direct from the source. The other sort of major religion in Asia at that time is Buddhism. The Venn diagram of Buddhism and Christianity is a little difficult, because it's like, be giving to others, which is a very Jesus idea. Care about the people around you and be, you know, aware. But then there's also, like, there is the aspect of Buddhism that there is no God, that we are God, which is very antithetical to the Christian religion. I would need someone with a lot more knowledge to actually explain the differences, to compare and contrast of that. But realistically speaking, we're still in the same situation, was why would Jesus need to study that at all if he's in a situation where he can tell you the truth and he knows what the truth is because he's directly connected to the truth? There's another question. So I did already say, like, it seems like not mentioning the little brother is a really big oversight in the Bible. But if Jesus took a decade to go to Japan to study, it would have made a lot of sense if when he returned to the Middle East and started preaching, he mentioned Japan by name. But that never shows up. They do talk about the Promised Land, and again, we interpret the Promised Land as heaven. But if he's talking about Japan, you think he would have had a name for it, the name that they actually used in that country. So maybe he wants to use the Japanese and have some version of Nihon would show up in the text or in the story, in the Bible, but that doesn't happen. And certainly there's the anglicization of the word Japan. That doesn't show up. But the core, the crux for me, more than anything else, is that Jesus isn't crucified. And basically letting someone else take the fall for him doesn't fit my image of Jesus Christ. He doesn't seem like the kind of person who would let someone else suffer in their place. He doesn't seem like the kind of person who would let someone else be crucified for something he was being accused of. It seems like the whole Jesus mythology is based around the fact that he would sacrifice himself for others. That's actually the crux of the crucified argument, is that he is sacrificing himself for the average person, for the population, to absolve us of our sins. Which takes us to me, the most important oversight in this story that was created after the Bible, is that if Jesus was supposed to die on the cross for our sins, and he didn't, that means he didn't absolve us of our sins. We are still in a state where we cannot get into heaven no matter what we do, because that absolution has never happened. He just was like, screw the human race. I'm going to go off to Japan and farm garlic for another 70 years until I die. That is fundamentally changing the entire nature of the Christian religion, if you're going to take this story in any way seriously. So it seems like Christians in Japan who, I don't know if they believe this story or not, but if they believe this story, have to do a lot of filling in gaps to be able to make that story work. I honestly think that the person who made up the story wasn't thinking through the fundamental consequences of what they were saying. And they were just, again, trying to make Japan a central aspect of the Christian religion. And it's kind of been done so that this little town can have a little clout in the world. Now, this isn't the only story like this in Japan. So let's actually talk about the descendants, the actual supposed descendants. I saw an internet video online. Internet video online is actually almost redundant. But I saw an internet video. It was kind of a documentary, and they were talking about this story, and they actually interviewed one of these supposed direct descendants of Jesus Christ. And the interviewer says, are you a direct descendant of Jesus Christ? Do you believe you are a direct descendant of Jesus Christ? The man they're speaking to is very uncomfortable. He has this kind of wry smile, like, I know what I'm supposed to say, and I know what I believe, and those two things don't match up. So if you ever want to see that face, that is where it's going to happen. When someone says, are you the descendant of Jesus Christ? And you have to say yes or no. So he does a very, very diplomatic answer, which I loved very, very much. He says, it's good for the town. And that's actually the reason he might go along with this, because there is a certain amount of tourism that's going to come in to see the burial spot of Jesus Christ. And the claim that there are direct descendants, they can say that family over there, that house, that is where the direct descendants of Jesus Christ live. And it's good for the town for a certain amount of tourism. I'm assuming Japanese Christians go there. But then there's people like me who hear the story, and I kind of want to go there just to see the place they claim as the final resting place of Jesus Christ. Knowing I've been damned to hell and there's nothing I can do about it because he never absolved me of my sins by getting crucified on the cross, the man is very uncomfortable, but he's kind of doing it for the good of everyone else in the village, which is a very Christ-like thing to do. So you actually think he probably doesn't believe he is, but he's going to sacrifice his pride for the benefit of the town. That's kind of a sacrifice he's giving for others, which is very Christ-like. So that turns my opinion around a little bit. Maybe there is a little touch of Jesus in this guy, and he is a good guy, and he's doing the right thing. I would be interested in what his religion is. Is he Christian? Because it would be very awkward for someone who is supposed to be a direct descendant of Jesus Christ to go to a church and listen to sermons and have being told about the religion that essentially you are. Like, they should just be inviting him up the front and go, like, say whatever you want to say, because whatever you say is the truth. But like I said, this isn't the only story like this. These Japanese Christians clearly really want Japan to be the centerpiece of the Christian religion. There is another area, it's a little further away. I wasn't able to find the exact spot on Google Maps, but they claim that Adam and Eve are buried there. Now, I think what they wanted to do was connect Adam and Eve, who live in the Garden of Eden. So if they're buried in this area must be close to the Garden of Eden. So they're inadvertently trying to claim that Japan is the Garden of Eden. But since the actual story is that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, what you've actually established is that Japan is 100% not the Garden of Eden, because that's where they ended up, which was not the Garden of Eden. So if this is their final resting place, their final resting place would not be in the Garden of Eden. There's a place called Ishikawa. It's kind of the north side of the main island in Japan. There's a mountain called Hodatsu, and they claim This is where Moses' tomb is. And so what they've done is taken all the central figures. And again, my level of understanding, these are the people I've heard of. I mean, there's so many personalities, people in the Bible that if you quiz me on, I wouldn't even have a clue who they are. But they've picked all the ones that everyone would know. They got Jesus, main character. They got Moses, had his own movies, and Adam and Eve, which is the first story. And they've taken them all and tried to transfer them into Japan as this being a very significant place in their life. So the realization there is that by trying to alter the story to make Japan more important, what they've done fundamentally is undermined the Christian narrative that goes throughout the Bible and taken away all of the significant benefits because the sacrifice of Jesus didn't happen. Japan is not the Garden of Eden. This being where Moses' tomb is, I don't know what the implications of that would be, but certainly the implication is that Japan is the most important place in the Christian religion, and just the rest of the world hasn't caught up with that. If you're ever in Japan, I would recommend do a little side detour. Head up to the north part of the main island. Find a place called Aomori. Find a little town called Shingo and start looking for the signs that say the burial site of Jesus Christ. Or take a little tour through Ishikawa, find Mount Hodatsu. See if you can find the final tomb of Moses. And then you can start your own Indiana Jones adventure because we all know how well that worked out. I mean, you got 5 movies out of it.
Enter the mind of the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah. CMIB, yeah.